We'll commence our service tonight by singing together the hymn number 345 in your hymn book, 345 on the page 316. Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Saviour. We are redeemed. The price is paid. What a wonderful Saviour. 345 on the page 316, standing as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. Let's stand as we sing.
Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior. We are redeemed, the price is paid. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a
we just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us look to the Lord for his help and blessing and presence among us here tonight. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we do gather, Lord, before thee tonight, O God, and we come in and through the name of thy Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who suffered and bled and died and gave his life an atonement for sinners upon the cross of Calvary. And Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight in Christ our Redeemer. We thank that Christ was sinless, that he was spotless, that he did no sin, that he knew no sin. Yet, Lord, thy word tells us that he bare our sin in his own body to the tree. We thank the Heavenly Father that he went willingly to the cross. And there upon that middle cross on Calvary's hill, he suffered, he bled and died, he poured out his life unto death. He cried out, "It is finished." And Father, we thank thee that he offered himself as a once for all, a sacrifice for sin. And Father, we thank thee that through that sacrifice, a way has been made back to God for guilty sinners such as us, a way back from the dark paths of sin. We thank that Christ has died, that he was buried, that he rose again victorious the third day. And we rejoice, O God, that he is alive forevermore, and that we serve tonight and we worship a risen Savior, a living Savior, an exalted Savior, a reigning Savior. And Father, we thank that Christ is coming back again in power and in great glory. And Father, our prayer would be tonight for all, even in our gathering tonight, that each and every one would be saved and ready for the coming again of the Lord. Father, we thank thee for all thy goodness and mercies to us throughout this day already. We thank thee, Lord, for thy presence with us in thy house this morning and thy goodness to us throughout this thy day. We thank thee for the blessing of the Lord's day, a day of rest, day when we can gather together with thy people around the open Bible and meet together to worship thee. And Lord, we thank that thou hast promised thy people that wherever they gather together in thy name, there as thou hast said, there am I in the midst. And Lord, we would look afresh to thee tonight. We pray for thy blessing, Lord, upon this gospel meeting. Draw very near, O God, we ask of thee. Close out every thought and care, O God, that is not of thee. Shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood of the Lamb. And Lord, in all that is said and done tonight, we pray that glory and honor will be brought to our Savior, that Christ would be high and lifted up, and that every heart and soul would be blessed and drawn out after him whom to know is life eternal. We thank thee for every believer in Christ. We pray that thou would bless your people, that thou would encourage and strengthen and build up thy people in the ways of God. For those going through times of testing and trial, we pray that thou would strengthen them, Lord, that thou would encourage them, that they will know what it is to cast their burden upon the Lord, and that thou wilt sustain them by thy grace and power day by day. For any, Lord, may be cold at heart tonight, give that restoring touch, we pray. For any with us tonight unsaved that do not the Lord as Savior, Lord, speak to them. And Father, we pray that even tonight that they might come to Christ, that they might trust him and own him as their own and personal Savior. Remember, Lord, those that cannot come tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity. O Lord, bless them. Remember, Lord, those who mourn and grieve. Lord, comfort their hearts. And grant, Lord, that thou would fill the vacant chair with the presence and with the nearness of the Lord. Remember thy servant tonight who has come to sing. We thank thee for him. We pray that thou would bless him and fill him with thy Holy Spirit. Lead him and guide him in the messages that thou would have him to bring. We pray that the ministry and song would be a blessing to our hearts and to our souls. Bless around thy word, Lord, as we would read thy word, as we would preach thy word. We pray that the word of the Lord will have free course amongst us tonight, and that all will go down to the glory of the Lord. Remember our land tonight, O God. Bless wherever the word of God is faithfully preached and proclaimed, across our land, north and south of the border. Bless every faithful testimony for the Lord, we pray. We thank thee that thou art upon the throne tonight, that the Lord reigneth, that thou art one who said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Lord, we pray tonight there'll be great rejoicing in the courts of heaven over sinners coming to know and to trust the Lord for salvation. Bless us now, we pray. Grant us a gracious sense of thy presence. Outpour thy Spirit upon us. Do every heart much good. For we pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory, giving thee thanks. Amen. Amen. Now we give a very special welcome tonight to our guest singer, good brother in Christ, Mr. Gordon Quinn. Welcome him and his wife Myrtle. Nice to have them with us. New fellowship with them in the gospel. And we're going to ask our brother Gordon now to come and bring his first messages and song. Thank you.
I'm following Jesus, I'm never alone. I have here no cities, for heaven's my home. I'm a pilgrim and stranger, I care not to stay, for my pathway grows brighter each step of the way. I'm following Jesus, I'm trusting the blood. His death on the cross showed the Savior's great love. God's mercy is flowing in one crimson flood. I'm washed and made whole, for I'm trusting the blood. The pathway is narrow, but He leads me on. I'll walk in His shadow, my fears have all gone. My spirit grows stronger each moment, each day. For Jesus is leading each step of the way. I'm following Jesus, I'm trusting the blood. His death on the cross showed the Savior's great love. God's mercy is flowing in one crimson flood. I'm washed and made I'm trusting the blood. The victory was purchased that day on the tree. His blood, it was shed there for you and for me. For all of our needs, He is more than enough. Keep looking to Jesus and trusting the blood. I'm following Jesus, I'm trusting the blood. His death on the cross showed the Savior's great love. God's mercy is flowing in one crimson flood. I'm washed and made whole, for I'm trusting the blood. I'm washed and made whole, for I'm trusting the blood.
Amen. Good to see you again, friends. And you're a good pastor here and all. We helped the rarest children. I didn't, but my wife did. Did a wee bit of child minding, and so we know them a long time. And thank you for coming to the meeting, and may the Lord bless you. Thinking a lot of the King these days, and you may have been watching some of it, and just wonder who is the King of your life. I noticed there was a few people in London yesterday and previous days there, and they said, not my king. I was wondering who was the king. Who controls your life? You see, we have an idea in our country, the king, he doesn't rule. He's a figurehead. It's really the government that makes the rules. But in the Bible, the king made the rules. The king decided what the people would do. The king had authority over lives. And that's the relationship that Jesus Christ wants with people, wants with his people, and wants with everyone. That he's the king in the sense that he makes the rules. He controls your life. And you, as a loyal subject of his, have handed your life over to him. You might have noticed there was a little time in the coronation yesterday where the people pledged allegiance to the king. And I'm sure most of you have done that. But it's more than a decision of a moment. It's a decision of a lifetime. If you have never once committed your life to Jesus Christ, you can make him king tonight. But maybe you did years ago. What's the relationship like tonight? Is he far away? Do you still follow his rules? Do you still allow him to be king of your life? That's what we need to do.
I love to hear how a king left his throne, loving the needy and poor, to purchase salvation with his royal blood. Tell me the story once more. And over, tell it again, the precious old story of love. I'll never story how Christ made a way for me to be cleansed from my sin. How Jesus in my place so willingly died. Tell me the story. Someday, when the angels have carried me home to regions of glory above, then I'll gladly listen while over precious old story of love. I'll never grow weary of hearing it told, that precious old story.
Thank you to our brother Gordon for coming and ministering in song. And we pray that the Lord will bless those messages to every heart. And if you're a believer tonight, that you'd rejoice afresh in the story of God's wonderful love in Christ. If you're here tonight not saved, oh, that you'd come to enter into that love by trusting Christ as Savior. Brother will be coming a little later on again to sing for us. Now, if you've got your Bible with you tonight, we'd ask you to turn, please, to Matthew's Gospel. And to the chapter number 24, returning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and we are reading from verse 36 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse 51. Let us hear God's precious word as we read it together. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and the verse number 36. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. And two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he that shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Amen. Ending a reading there at the verse number 51, and we pray the Lord will bless this reading of his precious and holy word to all our hearts. I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day evening. It's good to see each one gathered with us here tonight. Bid you welcome. We pray the Lord will bless you tonight around God's word. And if you're a believer, may you be drawn closer to the Savior. If you're not saved tonight, oh, that tonight would be the night of your salvation, when you'd put your faith and trust in the Lord. For those also maybe joining with us online, we thank you for joining with us. We pray the Lord will bless you also around God's word and through his truth tonight. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember that today, being the first Sunday of the month, is Building Fund Offering. And the Building Fund Offering for the month of April came to £605, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., here's the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. Remember that and plan to join with us. Also here Friday night, 8 p.m., is the Youth Fellowship meeting. We commend that to all the young people. The regular children's meetings are off now during the week for the summer season. next Lord's Day, the 14th of May, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7 p.m. Both services preceded by the half hour of prayer. We belong to minister God's word. Tomorrow night week, that's Monday night, the 15th of May at 8 p.m., is the monthly ladies' fellowship meeting. My wife will be speaking at that, and it's open to all ladies who are welcome to come along and to invite and bring others with them to that meeting. Do remember, please, that ladies, the matter of the tea rota there, and in wishing to help with that, just put your name on the sheet. The church barbecue as well on Friday night, the 9th of June at 7:30. Again, if you're hoping to go, just put your family name there on the sheet and the approximate number in the group. And then do remember also our Children's Day for your diary. That's the 18th of June, the Lord's Day, morning, 12 noon, afternoon, 3:30. The guest speaker, the Reverend Graham Middleton. A word of thanks to all who gave to the Cascadon offering, going out as missionaries to Uganda. That came to £2,966.50, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. The Vision magazine is to hand there. Do get your copy as you leave. And then, as we mentioned this morning, as a church, we'd like to express our sympathy to Mr. Harold Wilson, wife Eileen, and the family, and the passing of Harold's mother, and also Mrs. Gillian Scott and husband Stephen and family, and the passing of Gillian's aunt in the week that has gone by. So do remember these families, please, in your prayers at this time. We're going to turn again in our hymn book, and we're turning to hymn number 153, 153. We don't take up an offering, but do remember the offering plates as you leave. This is a wonderful old hymn reminding us of the Lord's return. It says, "Our Lord is now rejected, and by the world disowned, by many still neglected, and by the few enthroned. But soon he'll come in glory. The hour is drawing nigh, for the crowning day is coming by and by." 153. We'll keep our seats while we sing the early part of this hymn, singing it out with all of our hearts.
Thank you.
stand for the final verse. Ask our brother now to come and bring his final message and song. Thank you.
As he gambled for his robe that day, the stakes were truly high. For they gambled with their precious souls as Jesus went to die. Will you now learn from what they done, or make the same mistake? Jesus or the world, my friend, which one will you take? I'll take Jesus, I'll take Jesus. I tried the worldly pleasures and they failed. When your earthly life has passed you by, will you hear the Master say, you chose the road to life, my child, with me you now can stay. When the pages of your life have turned, time has rolled away, the greatest deeds that you have done won't help you on that day. And all your earthly treasures that you have laid away will only be as you stand there on the day. I'll take Jesus, I'll take Jesus. I tried the worldly pleasures and they failed. When your earthly life has passed you by, will you hear the Master say, you chose the road to life, my child, with me you now can stay. In the gospel invitation you can hear the Master say, me or the world, my friend, which one will you take?
Thank you once again, dear brother, for coming and ministering in song. May God bless that message to every heart. And oh, if you're not saved tonight, you'd heed that message, that you would take Christ tonight and trust Him as your own and personal Savior. Thank our brother for coming. We pray the Lord will bless him as he sings for the Lord and ministers for the Savior. Now we're going to turn again to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Matthew's Gospel and to the chapter number 24. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. And with God's Word open before us, we'll just bow together, please, in a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in this meeting tonight, for the singing of Thy praises and the ministry and song, the reading of Thy Word. Bless these things to our hearts, to our souls, as Thou would see our need. And Lord, as we come now to consider Thy Word and the time that is left, draw near. Lord, speak, Lord, through Thy Word. You have promised that Thy Word will not return unto Thee void. And Father, we pray that Thou will bless Thy Word to the strengthening of the saints of God, and for any tonight who know not the Lord as Savior, that Thou would so speak to them tonight through Thy Word, even as they have been counseled in the ministry and song, that they might take Christ and trust Him as their own and personal Savior. Bless us now, we pray. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God. Be mouth, matter, and wisdom unto us in the proclamation of Thy Word, and glorify Thy name amongst us. For we ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text of Scripture for tonight is the verse number 44 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. I'll read that verse with you again. It says, "Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Now, this weekend has been a momentous time for our nation, as we have witnessed the coronation of King Charles III. No doubt regarding this historic event, there has been much preparation, both for those who have taken part in the event, and also those who have went to watch or to spectate or to look on. No doubt the preparation required for Charles's coronation is a preparation that reminds us all personally of our own personal need to prepare for a much more important world event that is yet to happen and to come to pass. And that event is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the return of our Savior. Indeed, you and I, we are reminded of our need to prepare for this great event in our text this evening in verse 44 of Matthew 24. As the Lord Jesus Christ speaks, He says, "Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." It is very interesting to note that one of the great and illustrious titles that is given to Christ in the Scripture in Revelation chapter 19 is the title of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in this chapter here before us, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to His disciples shortly before His own death and crucifixion upon the cross. Look at the beginning of the chapter there, and verse 1, it says, "Now Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world?" And there you see in particular from that question put by the disciples to Christ there at the end of verse 3 that they were anxious to know about the return of Christ. They were anxious to know what would be the signs of the end time and of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord answers this question for them in the remaining verses of this chapter before us. And, Matthew chapter 24, for here he speaks to the disciples and he teaches the disciples about the events that will precede his return. He is coming back again to this earth. And then at the very end of the chapter, he gives a challenge to all. And this challenge is to be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that challenge is in our text tonight, where he says, "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And people, this is what I want us to think about tonight for a while in this gospel meeting tonight. The coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of kings and Lord of lords. In recent days, in our media and the news, there's been a lot of talk about the King of our realm, King Charles III. But we want to think tonight about a greater King, the greatest King of all, the Lord Jesus Christ and his return to this earth, to this scene of time. And I wonder, as we think about this subject tonight, let me ask you the question, are you ready for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, are you ready tonight to meet him who is King of kings and Lord of lords? No doubt those that went to the coronation yesterday made much preparation. Those that were invited as guests, they made much preparation to be there on that special and that historic occasion. But let me ask you tonight, are you prepared? Are you ready to meet Christ, who is King of kings, who is Lord of lords? Our text says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And as we think upon this vital matter of being ready for the return of Christ, there are three things I just want to set before you plainly and simply tonight in connection with this text. Notice first of all here the certainty of Christ's second coming. Notice the words there in the verse, at the end of the verse, it says, "The Son of Man cometh." And that refers to Christ. The Son of Man cometh. And we have similar words at the end of verse 37 and verse 39 of the chapter. It says there at the end of verse 37, "So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And again at the end of verse number 39, it says, "So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And here Christ was telling the disciples that he would most surely, most definitely, most certainly return to this earth, to this world one day. And people, this is a truth that is taught throughout the Scriptures. You think of those well-known words of Christ in John's Gospel, chapter 14. In verse 3 of that chapter, he gave that wonderful promise. He says, "I will come again." Think of the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. He says these words, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." Again, think of the words of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." He speaks of the certainty of the coming of the Lord. You think of the words of James in James chapter 5, verse 8. It says there, "The coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Think of the words of the Apostle John as he writes to God's people in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. He says, "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." And there he speaks of the return of Christ. Think of the words in Jude, verse number 14. It says of the Lord, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." Yes, throughout time and throughout history, there have been many, there have been multitudes, and they've sought to deny this truth. They have said, "Where is the promise of his coming?" Well, despite what false religions say, despite what ungodly man thinks, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. That's what is stated here in our text. It says, the Son of Man cometh, and when he returns, he's going to judge this ungodly world for its sin. Turn with me in your Bible over to the book of the Acts, Acts chapter 17, and you'll see this for yourself. Acts chapter 17. And here we have Paul preaching in Mars Hill, and he's preaching about repentance and about the judgment day when the Lord returns. And look at what he says in Acts chapter 17, verse number 31. He speaks of God and he says, because he have appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, and that man is Christ. He says, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. He hath appointed a day of judgment when Christ comes back again in power and in great glory. Oh, be sure of this tonight, dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. And he's coming back to judge this world. And if you are unsaved on the day of judgment, then you will not escape his judgment. The hymn writer says, but soon he'll come in glory. The hour is drawing nigh. The crowning day is coming by and by. And the Lord is coming back again. He's coming back to judge this world for its sin. And friend, the Bible shows us that the same Lord Jesus who was crucified upon the cross of Calvary, who was buried, who rose again, who ascended up into heaven, the very same Lord Jesus, he is going to return. He is going to return to this earth, to this world, personally. He's going to return bodily. He is going to return visibly. Think of the message of the angels to the disciples in Acts 1 verse 11. They said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Indeed, in the book of the Revelation, it says there, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. The very same Jesus is coming back again. You know, whenever a loved one of the family goes off on holiday or goes off and travels or whatever, we expect that very same loved one to return. Well, when Christ returns, dear friends, you and I are going to see him. We're going to see him just as the disciples saw him ascend up into heaven and ascend up into glory. And as we see the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns, we're going to see the nail-pierced hands and the nail-pierced feet. Those feet and those hands that were pierced when he was crucified for sinners upon the cross. We're going to see that brow that was pierced with thorns when Christ was crucified on Calvary's middle tree. And my, we're going to see the side that was riven by the spear as Christ hung upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, as sure as you see the very person who is sitting next to you tonight in this gospel meeting, so when Christ returns, you're going to see the same Lord Jesus, the hymn writer says, who went away. It's the same Lord Jesus Christ who's coming back again. And you're going to see him in all his power, in all his glory, in all his majesty. Yes, he will return in the very train of his triumph. What a glorious day that will be. Oh, yes, we see the certainty of his coming. Not only the certainty of his coming. Notice something else here tonight. Notice the suddenness of his coming. Look again at what our text says there in verse 44 of Matthew chapter 24. It says, for in such an hour, notice it, as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And here Christ shows the suddenness of his return. And he highlights the same back in verse number 36 of the chapter. Notice what he says. He says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Yes, the Lord's return will be sudden. It says there in our text, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Yes, it will be sudden. But the Word of God also warns us, and Christ warns us here particularly in this chapter, of what this world will be like prior to the sudden return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go back there to verse number 3 of the chapter. Notice the question that was asked by the disciples. Tell us, when shall these things be? And notice it, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? They wanted to know what the world would be like before Christ comes back again in power and in great glory. And he tells us here in this chapter, yes, there will be wars and there will be terrible tragedies. You look there at verse number 6 and verse number 7 of Matthew chapter 24. It says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and diverse places. What was COVID? It was a pestilence that swept across the world. And says there shall be pestilences and famines and earthquakes. Yes, there will be wars and terrible tragedies. Something else we see here that Christ tells us that false religion will abound. Look at verse number 11 of the chapter. He says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And we see that all around us more and more, day by day, the rising up of false religion and false prophets abounding. Notice something else that Christ tells us about here in the chapter. He tells us that there will be great wickedness, an awful hardness of heart. Look at verse number 12 of the chapter. He says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And that's what we see in our day and generation today very much. Iniquity abounding in every hand, and the love of many a waxing cold, hardness of heart. And then notice something else here, that Christ tells us that the message of the gospel will reach out into the uttermost parts of the earth. Look at verse number 14 of the chapter. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And is it not the case today that the gospel is reaching out to farthest flung corners of the world? Something else we see here, how Christ, he warns about the rise of the Antichrist. And the whole system of Antichrist shall manifest itself more and more prior to the return of Christ. Look at what he says there in verse number 15 of the chapter. He says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And here he warns us about the Antichrist and the powers of Antichrist. And the Bible shows us that the Antichrist will be a very powerful character, and the whole system of Antichrist will have great power. Where will that power come from? That power will be from Satan. It is satanic. It will be energized by Satan. It will be noted for terrible evil. And the Bible shows us that the whole world will be taken up with the power of the Antichrist. In Revelation 13, verse 3, it says, all the world wondered after the beast, and the beast there is the Antichrist. Turning your Bible over to 2 Thessalonians and to the chapter number 2, and you'll see how Paul warns us here of this very fact as he speaks of the marks of the end time Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verses 3 and 4 and verse 9 of that chapter. He says there, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Notice his character, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Here Paul warns us of one who will set himself up, as it were, against God, in the place of God, in the very place of Christ. Look at verse 9 of the same chapter. He says, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." We see something else as well in Matthew chapter 24 of the marks of the end times, and it is this: there will be an increased persecution of the Lord's people, an increased opposition to the things of God prior to the return of Christ. And Christ warns us of that in verse 21 and verse 22 of Matthew chapter 24, when he says, "Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." And people, this is something of the events that will happen in this world, in the spirit of this world, prior and before the return of Christ. In our text here tonight, the Lord says, "For on such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." And here Christ is saying that none of us know the exact day, the exact hour, the exact moment of the return of Christ. In fact, the Bible says it will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And it is an event that will take many unawares. And Christ warns us of that in this very chapter. Look at verse 38, verse 39. Notice what he says. He says, "For on the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not," notice it, "and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Yes, multitudes will be taken unawares by the sudden and the sure return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Christ comes again in judgment and in power and glory, there will be a terrible separation. Notice again how Christ warns us of that very fact in this passage. Look at verse 40. Look at verse 41 of the chapter. He says, "Then two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left." There will be a terrible separation when the Lord Jesus Christ returns between the saved and the unsaved. And the unsaved, yes, will be cast into hell, that place of everlasting punishment and judgment for sin. And the saved, they will be gathered into heaven, the place of eternal life and everlasting glory. Turn the page in your Bible over to Matthew chapter 25. And go down to verse number 31 of the chapter. Notice there how Christ again speaks of this great separation that will take place when he returns in the day of judgment. Verse 31 of Matthew chapter 25, it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him," notice it, "shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right," and the sheep are those who are saved. "He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats," that's the unsaved, "he'll set them on his left." And then in verse 34 it says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Look at verse 41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And then in verse 46, at the end of that chapter, he says, "And these shall go away," that's the goats, the unsaved, "into everlasting punishment. But the righteous," that is the saved, the sheep of God's flock, "unto life eternal." Friend, let me ask you tonight, how will it be with you when Christ returns, when he returns to judge this world? Will you be gathered with God's sheep into heaven, into glory? Or will you be severed from the Lord and his people and lost in hell forevermore with the goats, with the unsaved? Shut out of the kingdom of God forever and ever. Oh, Christ is coming. The suddenness of his coming. Notice one final thought tonight. Notice the preparation required for Christ's second coming. You look at our text. Look at what Christ says at the beginning of it. He says, therefore, be ye also ready. In light of the certainty of the return of Christ, in light of the suddenness of Christ's return, you and I must prepare. You and I, we must make ready for the return of Christ. Yes, you and I, we must prepare and make ready for that time when we'll meet with him who is King of kings, who is Lord of lords. Oh, if you are to be wise, you must make preparation for the coming of the Lord. Be ye also ready. The Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. How do you prepare? How do you and I make ready for the coming of the Lord? Friend, the way to prepare is to be saved. To be saved by God's grace. What does it mean to be saved? To be saved means you confessing your sin, acknowledging your need as a lost sinner, your lost sinful condition before a holy God. The holy God of heaven, think of the publican, how he cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He owned his sin. He acknowledged his sin. He confessed his sin to the Lord. To make preparation for the coming of the Lord, you must own and acknowledge your need as a sinner before God, lost. Yes, to be saved means an acknowledgement of your sin. It means you also repenting of your sin. That means a turning from your sin, a forsaking of your sin before God. The Bible says, turn ye from your evil ways. Think of the prodigal son who repented. It says, he arose and he came to his father. He forsook the far country. He forsook his sin and he turned to the father. And he repented. There was a forsaking of his sin, an acknowledgement, yes, of his sin, but a forsaking of it, there was repentance. Dear friend, to prepare for the coming of the Lord, you must acknowledge your need as a sinner. You must repent, turn from your sin. And in turning from your sin, you must turn to Christ. Turn to Christ by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Oh, it is only through the blood of Christ and the blood of Christ alone shed upon Calvary's cross that all your sins can be blotted out from before the view of the holy God of heaven. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And it is only through the perfect righteousness of Christ that you can be accepted before God and accepted into his presence. The Bible says we are accepted in the Beloved. That is the Son of God. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You think tonight as the Philippian jailer, he was concerned about his soul. He was concerned about meeting God in the day of judgment. He said to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And the Bible says of the jailer that day that he rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. He made preparation that day for heaven. He made preparation that day for the sure and the certain return of Christ. Dear friend, at our meeting tonight, this is how you must also prepare for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be saved. You must be born again. Turn with me in your Bible over there to Acts chapter number 2. Here we have the Apostle Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. And in his sermon, he's preaching about the coming of the Lord, the return of Christ. He's quoting from the Old Testament book of Joel in a sermon. And he quotes what the Lord says about his return to this earth, to the scene of time. Look at verses 19 and verse number 20 of Acts chapter 2. The Lord says, "And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come." He's preaching here about the very return of Christ. Look at the next verse. Look at what he says. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." How are you to be saved and ready for the coming of the Lord? By calling upon the Lord as a repentant sinner, confessing your sin to the Lord, acknowledging your need as a sinner, and coming in faith and repentance unto Christ, and being washed and cleansed from your sin by His precious blood. Praise God, you'll be saved. You'll be ready for the coming of the Lord. Ready to meet the Lord. Christ says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Oh, friend, tonight, if you're not yet ready, oh, that tonight you would heed the warning of Scripture. That you'd prepare for the coming of Christ, who is King of kings, who is Lord of lords. And that you'd come to Christ just as you are, as a poor and needy sinner. Confess your sins to Him. Have the blood of Christ applied by faith to your heart. And be saved and ready for the return of Christ in power and in great glory. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 224. 224, "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" We'll sing the first and the third verse along with the chorus. 224, verses 1 and 3, along with the chorus. Let us stand as we sing. Close our meeting with prayer, but if there's one tonight and there's a concern in your soul, you know you're not ready for the coming of the Lord, oh, that tonight you'd make that preparation, put your faith and trust in Christ, and know your sins forgiven, put away by the blood of the Lamb. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here tonight. We thank Thee for help given in the ministry of Thy Word. Bless Thy Word, write Thy truth upon every heart. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. We thank you for every soul in the meeting that has made that preparation. who is ready and waiting and watching for the return of Christ. But Lord, for any in our meeting tonight and has not yet made that preparation, they're not yet ready. Oh, that tonight that they would turn and seek the Lord, have their sins put away by faith in Jesus Christ alone and by His atoning blood, and be saved and made ready for heaven, and be made ready for the coming of the Lord. Answer prayer to this end. Part us with your fear and favor. Take us to our homes and safely journey with us, we pray. Speak on while man's voice is silent, and keep your hand upon us all for good throughout this week that lies before us. For we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name and for thine eternal glory. Amen and amen.